Hey, agency owners, it's time for a new episode of the Agency Blueprint, the number one podcast for agency owners looking to discover strategies for scaling an agency to seven figures and beyond, while reducing stress and getting your personal life back. I'm your host, Robert Patton, international bestselling author, agency scale partner, and founder of Creative Agency Success. Before we get started today, I'd like to send you a copy of our brand new book, The Practical Agency, written specifically to help creative agency owners go beyond the creative side and build systems to simplify and quickly scale their agency to $100,000 a month. Go to creativeagencysuccess.com/practical agency to claim your free copy. And now for the show. Hey, agency owners, today we have Joe Ardiser from the Smart Pricing Table joining us. Joe is a former digital agency owner of 12 years, and he has the battle scars that we have all gained to prove it. He's worked with notable brands such as Bluetooth, T-Mobile, Scantron, and built his agency from just himself to a team of 12. After selling his agency, Joe decided to take on his passion for sales and ultimately proposal writing and create Smart Pricing Table. It's an interactive proposal software that cuts down on the back and forth, incorporates upsells, and helps generate proposals at lightning speed. Thanks so much for joining us today, Joe.
Thanks for having me on your show, Robert. I'm excited to jump in.
Well, for everyone listening, not surprising that Joe and I are going to be talking about agency proposals today. Where I'd like to start, Joe, is what are the biggest challenges that you see that agencies run into when it comes to writing proposals, both historically as well as even in what's going on right now in the economy?
Well, Robert, I talk to a lot of agency owners, people generally doing demos of Smart Pricing Table. And it's funny, you know, in business, you kind of figure out things as you're going, but I love niching. And so I talk to a lot of agencies because that's really our main customer profile. But as I talk to agencies, one of the biggest things that I see, the biggest response, you know, what's your biggest pain point with proposal writing? It's hands down time. I get that probably about 80% of the time. It's the time that it takes to actually create proposals.
I was talking with a client doing a vision workshop last week, and they said their proposals take anywhere between 7 to 14 hours to create. And I was like, why? What is going into that that takes that long to create a proposal? I mean, the thinking about it completely, generating it from scratch. And I know, having seen both Smart Pricing Table and some clients that are utilizing your system, that it doesn't take that long with you. And realistically speaking, shouldn't take that long unless you're just starting out and it's the first proposal that you're creating. What about the mistakes that you see? I mean, you having insight to so many agencies and the proposals that they're developing and what it is that they're doing, what are the biggest mistakes that you see than making when it comes to proposals?
I don't listen to the podcast regularly, but I think there's one called Two Bobs. You probably heard of it. They have a really good episode on basically how to write a proposal, and they go over all the mistakes. They make it sound super serious. And, you know, a couple of them, one was, you know, plaster every single logo you possibly can and all on one page from every single client. That was one of their tips, which of course is a fantastic advice. Another one was bigger the better. Just if the longer you can make that sucker, the bigger chances of your close rate.
Yeah, because everybody's got loads of time, right?
Yeah, so, you know, those are funny examples, but a lot of agencies actually do that. You know, there's a saying in design, if everything is bold, then nothing is bold. I think that there's an overcomplication that happens. One of the biggest challenges, I would say, is like any other area in your business, if you don't have some kind of system, if you don't have some kind of process for building proposals, you have nothing you can improve on. I'd call that the cornerstone mistake, is, you know, not having a centralized way of thinking about it. Lots of different, anywhere from issues that result to scope creep, issues of, you know, client misunderstandings, issues abound, but I think that's the primary one. If I have a central system, if I have a repository of building blocks, then when I have pain points, I can go back to that repository and I can tweak. And I think that's what plagues so many agency owners. They're just grabbing, you know, old proposal, duplicating it. Hopefully I change the name.
Hopefully, fingers crossed. Yeah, I mean, I think that one of the things, I mean, process, you're barking up the right tree with me there. The thing that I also think is really interesting when it comes to that consideration as well is that if you're not doing it from a process in the first place, the problem that you're going to run into is that if you don't have success and you're doing it every single time differently, it's so incredibly difficult to pinpoint what is wrong. If you change one thing, I mean, you don't want to have too many variables. And if you don't have a system, the way that you're going about it and you're changing consistent variables, then you're making it difficult to figure it out. I would also say that in my experience, when it comes to talking with agencies about proposals, they're just overthinking it so much about making sure that they have to include every single piece of consideration around how to position yourself and how to convince the client and load them with every single thing and why proposals can get really long. And I don't know your thoughts on this piece, but would you agree or disagree with, I think that if you're getting to the proposal stage and you feel like you have to add that much more in order to make a sale, you probably were doing everything that led up to that point in the sale conversation wrong.
Yeah, so much of the things that people might write down are things that could come out in the flavor or the spirit of like a proposal review meeting, which is something we could talk about. I love that strategy. I would say there are two ditches. You can be too vague or you can be too detailed. I've had too many proposals to count from vendors where you read it and you're like, what the heck are you actually offering? You know, what is the service here? I don't really know what to expect. And with those kind of engagements, what you actually find is you start project managing your vendor instead of them actually leading. So that's really frustrating. So one side, too vague. On the other side, too detailed. Some agencies are, you know, tech founder led. You know, you're more technical. Maybe you're a web developer or you're a technical SEO guy or something like that. And you just get too much into the detail or you're providing too much information. I think when it comes to talking about your agency, basic information, like keep it somewhat straightforward, like 5 pages of agency info, testimonials, case studies, that's probably enough. And then your scope of work and your terms, right? Keep it simple with a straightforward layout like that.
I definitely agree on that too much information side of things. When you have your prospective buyer in a place where you're loading them with so much information and then they can't make a decision because they just feel overloaded, right? If you're overwhelming someone, there's no way that they're going to make that choice. And it just becomes a very difficult for them. You're actually creating more. I mean, I think that the area that we're looking for here and would love to hear your thoughts on it is you want to provide the minimum information that they need to make a decision. Not any more, not any less. This just, here's what they need to make a choice and whether this is the right agency for me and whether this is the right process for me. Because realistically speaking, when we think about it, really, the vast majority of agencies are going to be talking about the same components, right? The same tools, really, that is going to help accomplish the outcome. Really, where a lot of the decision is made is, do I feel safe? Do I understand the risk? Do I understand the outcome? And then they make a choice based on that.
Yeah. And so much of it, you know, if you've got this massive proposal with all this information, you know, one of the biggest headaches is I've got to scroll through 18 pages to get to your actual pricing, which is, sorry to tell you, the thing I cared about, right? Like the price and the service outline. What I found at my former agency is it seemed like most of our proposals were very, very similar. It was just the pricing and the scope that changed. And so we created, you know, I think there's some bare minimum information you want to have. Nice cover page. I'd highly recommend some kind of biographical about us page and preferably with pictures of people. Right. You don't want it to feel like it's anonymous. There's too many agencies out there where it's like you can say you have 10, 20, 30 people, you know, but you don't have any pictures. You have no proof of that. And so I think buyers are wary.
People connect to people.
Yeah. Social proof, I think, is another helpful thing. Testimonials, some case studies, but not 50, you know, a few, 2 or 3. And then scope of work and terms. I think that, you know, are there other things? Yes, but again, if you're putting too much information there, you're upping the odds that they're not going to read any of it. I would rather have my proposal kind of be the stake of the matter. And if there's a lot of other information, I can send a PDF, like a brochure-like thing that's maybe the sizzle where they can get into it a ton. But they've got 5, 6, 7 other proposals they're looking at. I don't want mine to be convoluted.
100%. So let's talk about making this process a bit faster. So what would your advice be to an agency owner looking to take, like, for example, the client that I was talking about from last week? that their process right now is quite long, taking it from 5-6 hours and turning it into 30 minutes or an hour. What would the first step that you would take? How would you go about it?
Yeah, well, just my own success in this, Robert, I had a non-technical sales guy building, you know, $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 website proposals in generally 30 to 60 minutes, okay? Non-technical. And I know probably a lot of your listeners are thinking, man, how did you even get a salesperson to do, to actually create these, right? Because so many CEOs, agency owners are thinking, this thing is so complicated, there's no freaking way I'm giving it to a salesperson who's typically a people person, right? Not technical. I think the secret lies here. And we just discovered this maybe about five years into my agency. You have to create a catalog. I'm sure there'll be pushback at, you know, things like cookie cutter and all that kind of stuff. But the reality is that for most agencies, there are clear patterns. If you don't have any patterns, then you're probably not building momentum, and there's a high chance that maybe you don't even enjoy your work. Patterns, the only way you can improve on your process is if you actually see the patterns and you can make tweaks and adjust. And so, you know, just to make it really practical, you know, we sold a high-end WordPress websites, okay? And most of the time they were marketing websites for certain verticals. Well, Robert, one of the things that we'd see all the time is an About Us page, okay? Or a contact page. Like these are not crazy ideas, but they're needed. And so when you start thinking about, okay, this is the 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th, you know, About Us page that we've made. What is an About Us page? Well, you generally are going to start with like a nice culture shot at the top, photo of the team. A lot of companies want little headshots for their staff. Maybe there's a leadership section. Maybe there's categorization, leaders, fulfillment team, et cetera. And then some of them want like a pop-up bio. Maybe you even have like, you know, you find a pattern where a lot of people like having like a photo, and then when you hover over it, it changes to a different photo. Like the fun agencies do that a lot. Well, what agencies can start doing is saying, well, what are those patterns? And you can take an About Us page like that, and you can build a reusable line item so that you're not starting from scratch every single time. If you have that in a repository, even if every single project is different, you can add the About Us page to a proposal as one of the line items, and then you can tweak it so that it's custom tailored for your prospect. But you're not starting from scratch, and you're not searching through a bunch of old PDFs.
I mean, while the patterns, I 100% agree, you're talking about essentially kind of starting to get to your place where you're productizing the business really, right? So that you have a set of things that you're offering so that it allows for you to be able to scale. I mean, I'm a huge proponent of that. I don't think that everything should be custom made, custom proposals constantly. It becomes very difficult to scale. And for the most part, it actually becomes the glass ceiling for the agency when you're not able to do that. So, I mean, it is absolutely a key component. If an agency really isn't at a place where they feel like they can do that, I mean, you gave a clear example in what you're describing, right, in what your agency did. But if there was an agency that feels like they can, everything is so incredibly different every single time, what would you suggest to them to start to figure out how can they break things down or even find the patterns to be able to start this process in the first place?
Well, I think the first thing is considering, are there patterns that I'm not actually seeing? A lot of times the pushback is, well, every project we do is custom. Okay, maybe it is, but is every single part of it custom? Really? Every single part? Even like, you know, agencies come in all shapes and sizes. Imagine an agency that does software custom apps, custom development of apps, right? Well, what about patterns like almost every system needs a user login, user management, user roles? Are you telling me that there's no similarities between any of your projects when it comes to those kind of things? Maybe you have a user roles snippet or line item and you define it out. And the reality is it's going to change quite a bit on the next project, but 60% of it was consistent and you were able to kind of look through the line item and say, yes, we need that. No, we don't need that. Yes, we need this custom thing. Oh, and this part, we should actually have that be part of our standard user login or user role system in the future. And so you're finding, even if it's not, you can't just take the product off the shelf, even if you have to customize it a good amount, you're still getting a head start, and the template is helping you miss potential blind spots, so you're not killing your margins.
I really want to double down on that potential blind spot piece of it, because I think that that is where a lot of agencies actually get things really messed up when it comes to proposals and pricing and everything as well. I was like, I forgot to include that. That was a mistake. And I knew that I needed it. It's on every single one. But then I just forgot to add it to this one proposal because all I'm copying is a Google Sheet or a Word document and then making augmentations to the copy on it. And I forgot to add it. That is an incredibly important call out. And all of you that are doing it that way that I just described, you absolutely need to have some mechanism that allows for you to double check to make sure you've included everything that you need to include. During the demo that I took a look at of Smart Pricing Table, you talked about like optionality and about how you can add in abilities to create sort of like these upsells. I'd love to hear you kind of share a little bit about that.
A lot of my journey with optionality, you know, was just surprises that we found at my former agency. I look at optionality in a couple different categories. The first one is allowing line items. So actually, let me back up. The thing that I'm most passionate about is building a scope of work quickly. Okay, so folks haven't, you say that term, you're like, oh, okay, I get where this is, right? It's the scope of work that often takes so much time. So when I speak of optionality, you know, certain line items can be optional. Not everything, but certain line items can. The second level, and this is where it depends on your proposal software. We do this at Smart Pricing Table, but I love having configurations on the line item level. And what it does is it gives a lot of versatility to your proposal. So I'm going to go back to the About Us page. You're pitching your prospect. You've got a line item for an About Us page. Well, maybe the About Us page is $1,000. It comes with a staff picture on the top. It comes with a grid of employees with their name underneath it. And then maybe a little photo gallery, some culture shots at the bottom. Okay. And let's say that's $1,000. You've defined it. You feel good about that. That's not going to lead to crazy scope creep. Well, imagine configurations like advanced or pop-up bios, the ability to click on the images of each employee and get fun details, their expertise, where they're the genius in the company, some of the things that they do for fun, the way that they think, those kind of things. And that's an additional $350. Well, all of a sudden, I make the customer who's a little bit more cost sensitive happy because I'm not having a minimum $1,300-$1,400 on it. And they can just go with $1,000. And then I'm making the customer that has a lot more cash, they don't really care, and they like the bells and whistles. They click on it and they own it, right? Because they clicked on it, they're responsible. They found the budget.
They decided they wanted more, yeah.
All of a sudden, you're cutting back on all this back and forth, but you're also allowing customers where the price is a little bit too high to get it to where they need to close, and then people with more budget to just give you more money. I have a real quick story. Whenever I tell this, it gets a lot of reaction. I once had a prospect that said, we've got a $25,000 budget and we can't meet with you. And Robert, at the time, you know, I really was convinced that requiring a proposal review meeting was instrumental, which again, we could talk about soon here. So I didn't like that they didn't want to meet with us, and $25,000 was our minimum. Because we needed the work, I told my sales guy, hey, let's just create a base proposal based on this template, deselect a bunch of stuff, don't spend more than 15 minutes on it, because that's all they care about me, right? They're not giving me their time, and chuck it over the fence, which we almost never did. Long story short, I didn't hear anything for 2 weeks, and then I got a signature request for $34,000. Their $25,000 max, in all caps, hard max, was actually not that big of a deal if they were in the driver's seat. If they got to select things and turn things on, all of a sudden they could find the budget really easily. And so when you give customers options, you unlock some agency that they get and they love, and you fill the future with surprises because you never know what they're going to select if you add a few enriching line items.
I mean, I think that's interesting. I mean, we've talked about it a little bit. I have some thoughts around that as well and have a question for you. Because the thing that would make me concerned in that situation is that the client would then feel that they are in control of the entire arrangement and relationship. And I know, and I see so incredibly often where agencies are mistreated, the clients treat them like they're merely a vendor, just do this thing for me. And I don't really care who you are, and treat them pretty badly. And with that relationship, how did that relationship actually turn out? Did the project go well? Was the client nice? How did that go?
It was fantastic. I mean, obviously we had red flags, right? So many engagements, they say they can't meet with you. And the reality is because they're getting like 10 vendors so they could check a box, right? I agree. But I think some of that comes down to number one, you determine what level of optionality. Okay, maybe only 10% of it's optional. That still leaves you with the majority of control. And of course, you never make something optional that's integral. If it's absolutely required, it shouldn't be optional.
Yeah, I 100% agree with that. I also, one of the things that I talk about frequently with clients all the time, I'd love to hear your thoughts on it, is the good, better, best model, kind of like the ABC model. What are your thoughts on that? And have you seen that done? Have you ever tried that? What are your thoughts?
I've seen agencies with lots of different models. With a setup like that, you're keeping it somewhat simple. And I think that's helpful for customers. The challenge can be is when they're trying to compare apples to apples with other quotes, it's harder to do, right? Yours is really set. And so I like a hybrid model where if you're more package-based or a good, better, best kind of setup that you're pitching to a customer, the things I'd say is, can you have some upsells? Let's say it's a bronze, silver, gold package. Can you have some configurations inside of those packages so that you can kind of get in between packages? So for instance, maybe you've got a bronze package that's $1,000 a month and then silver is $2,500. Well, maybe your prospect has $1,500. $2,500 is out of the question, but they've got $1,500. Are there some small configurations to make the bronze package a little bit more attractive? Never can get to the silver, right? But can you do that? And so still some level of customization. And then I always like to, even with a package-based proposal, I always like to have another section called additional items for consideration. I once had I had a bookkeeper, and I emailed her and I said, hey, I have a new CPA and I want you guys to meet. And she said, you got a new CPA. Don't you realize that we do CPA services or accounting services? And I said, I had no freaking clue. It would have been nice, right? And sometimes with agency proposals, you just got to put it on the table. Like we would always from, you know, the sales call or just our intuition, grab two or three, maybe four optional items that we'd put under this section, additional items for consideration. And I can't tell you how many times a customer picks something that I didn't even know they wanted.
Super interesting that you see that kind of engagement with it as well, and that your platform allows for that flexibility for the team to be able to do that. I have one last thing that I wanted to chat with you about, and would love to hear your insight on it. When it comes to the actual proposal review component of things, that meeting or getting engagement, kind of avoiding the ghosting that may happen after sending a proposal, what would you say maximize the engagement or how to get people to engage? What would you say is kind of the best thing that you see across the agencies you see and work with?
Yeah. Well, if you're going to spend the time productizing, creating a system, investing in a better tomorrow, right? That's one part. It is, you know, that's one area. You also need to say, you know, ask the question, how can we increase our close rate? So I can make these proposals faster. It's more enjoyable. We don't miss things as much. But how do we increase our close rate, take it through to the finish line? I discovered, you probably heard of Jason Swank, but I'll steal a tip he gave years ago. Basically taught me probably about a decade ago about the proposal review meeting. And how this works is, let's say that you're a new prospect, Robert, and we're having a sales discovery call. Maybe it lasts for 30 minutes. Well, I want to move the ball forward. And so what I say is, well, Robert, thank you for downloading all that information. I'm really excited that we're talking because I think we could come up with a great solution for you. The next step in our process is I'd like to schedule a 20-minute proposal review meeting. I then pull a FAMBAM, which means from a meeting, book a meeting, okay? And I bring up my Calendly and I book it right there. I'm sure you've probably talked about this many times, just you cannot get a meeting as easy as you can on a meeting, right? The meeting is the easiest way to get the next one. The attendance rate on the proposal review meeting is fantastic because they don't get the link until after the meeting is done. You don't send it to them before because then they'll be looking at it while you're doing your meeting, right? And the value of the meeting is you don't want to just create a proposal, but you want the opportunity to sell the proposal. Here's why I structured it this way. Here's our overall strategy. You know, you got to fill in the gaps. Even the most detailed proposal, there's still left a lot to interpretation. And you can overcome objections. And if it's interactive, you can even check boxes and cut down on massive back and forth. So I would say it was one of the biggest eye-openers, aha moments that we had when we instituted that meeting as pretty mandatory.
Yeah, I 100% agree. I've said it many times on this podcast and say it to clients all the time. Cardinal rule, do not just email your proposal. You need to meet to review it, have them understand what it is, exactly how it's going to help them accomplish their goals. They're not simply buying a hammer. They are buying a business outcome, and you need to have the opportunity to build that rapport, manage the objections, have them understand the value, understand the nuance, exactly how it's going to work. They have questions. Otherwise, you're leaving it purely to price. I 100% agree. And bam, bam, until you get a yes or no, even after the proposal review, continue to bam, bam until you get a yes or no. It makes a huge impactful change. Thank you so much, Joe, for joining us today. If listeners wanted to reach out, learn a little bit more about Smart Pricing Table, how can they get in touch with you?
Yeah, smartpricingtable.com is our website. Again, it's proposal software that really is agency specific. That's our number one customer profile. And on our website, I have a free demo. I lead those demos still because I love close proximity to the product and to our customers. And so if this seems interesting or you'd like some, you know, on a phone call kind of consulting, reach out. I also have a free guide on our website called The Profitable Proposal Blueprint. Some of the topics we covered are here, but it's a nice little cheat sheet to kind of, you know, how are we doing on these particular areas in our proposal process?
Awesome. Be sure to check it out. I'll make sure to have the links in the show notes. Everybody, thank you so much, Joe, for joining us again. It was just phenomenal and so much value.
Thank you, Robert.
Once again, thank you so much for carving out the time to hear what was shared on today's podcast. Now, chances are, if you're an agency owner listening to this podcast right now, then you may be feeling like this.
Because I was finding myself constantly overworked within our business, constantly like too busy with fulfillment or too busy with customer service needs.
So I didn't have the time to go think about how am I going to close this person? Or what am I going to say to this person? Or what am I going to do with this? Or what's the next strategy I need to do?
Now, of course, this podcast is here to help you with a lot of things. But at one episode per week, it's going to take a while for us to share everything you need specifically for your situation. So if you're really serious about committing to fixing the problems in your agency now, so you can build a truly profitable business and get your life back, then I want to invite you to apply for the Agency Accelerator Program.
I'm not so stressed during calls thinking, oh my gosh, I gotta sell, because if I don't sell, I don't make our numbers, you know, and if I don't make our numbers, I can't pay our people. If I can't pay our people, then our business is down.
This program is designed to help creative agency owners get to $1 million in revenue per year in 12 months or less.
I typically charge one client a $3,000, anywhere from $2,000 to $3,000. Now I'm moving towards only $5,000 and up. And my latest client that I closed is a $10,000 client on a monthly retainer.
We only accept about 20% of the agencies that apply to this program because we want to make sure that we only work with people who will commit the time, energy, and resources required to take what they learn in the program and use it to create an agency of their dreams.
You've taught me and you've taught us how to build this within our company that if X happens, this happens. Boom, 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 boom. Like it's so systematic that it's going to work for itself.
That has given me the sense of like, oh, I know what the heck I'm talking about. I know what I'm good at. I know that I can deliver upon what I want to deliver. And I gained hell of a lot of confidence for sure.
So if that's you, then I want to invite you to apply today. Just hit the link in the show notes to apply for the Agency Accelerator Program or go to creativeagencysuccess.com/apply. Thanks, and I'll see you inside the program.